welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly news magazine produced by your community radio station and many others across the country. I'm Fabienne Boudreau at KCSB, a student-run radio station broadcasting from the campus of the University of California at Santa Barbara. 35 years ago, a string of intense student-led protests erupted here that led to the total destruction by fire of a local branch of the Bank of America. Over the next half hour, we'll look back at some of the events occurring before and after the burning of the bank that loom large in the history of our student-run community radio station and the history of the community of Isla Vista. We'll review the issues surrounding those events and highlight the role of KCSB and other student-controlled media who are pioneering a new wave of youth-oriented mass media, bringing the voices of the 60s generation to a mass audience. The current location of the University of California, Santa Barbara, opened in 1954 with roughly 1,600 students. The adjacent neighborhood of Isla Vista was a rural community in an unincorporated area of the county of Santa Barbara. By 1970, the student population stood at 14,000 students. This rapid growth of just 15 years led to an extreme pressure on the surrounding community to provide student housing, as nearly two-thirds of the students at the time lived off-campus and 80% of the total population of Isla Vista, a former agricultural zone situated on 340 acres of Pacific Ocean coastline. The pressures of the real estate speculators led in 1962 to a serious weakening of the architectural review guidelines allowing for an explosion of cheaply constructed multi-unit apartment buildings. An officer of the 1969 to 1970 student body government describes the student anger at the time of the housing issue.
I think all the students, rather than mindless individuals manipulated by leaders, are cognizant of those elements in this community which oppress them. The realtors do not live in this community. They represent absentee landlords. They charge excessive rent for incredibly poorly constructed buildings and very poor maintenance. And I think every student here, you know, feels that that their frustration shouldn't be directed against the record store or against Isla Vista Market, but against the realtors that are responsible. And every attempt, for instance, last year, we finally got a charge against Isla Vista Realtors for illegal practices. And they were found guilty by the State Board of Realty, and they were given a 15-day suspended license. You know, that's the only thing we've been able to do. And, you know, legitimate channels have failed. Our dean of students went down and testified on behalf of that real estate agency. The tie-in between the university and these real estate agencies is incredible. One of the major developers, who's built himself a tremendous fortune, a very small investment in just a few years through illegal mortgages, through all kinds of shady deals. His wife works for the university. You know, and he served as an officer with the Goleta Savings and Loan with our chancellor, who is on the board of directors. There's a frustration, and I think that all of the students realize who's responsible for that.
Isla Vista is still known today as an area with poor lighting, no sidewalks, and no effective local government. In 1970, the voting age stood at 21 years, and the county clerk at the time actively discouraged students from registering locally. The thousands of students in Isla Vista were effectively voiceless in local politics.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall?
The student station, KCSB, was chartered by the University of California at the very opening of the free speech movement in Berkeley. It was the first UC radio station. Student activism was rising across 1968, and the news department at KCSB was created during this period to serve a student's community needs. It actively gathered local news rather than pass on wire service reports, and had important coverage on Robert Kennedy's campaign and reactions to his assassination. In 1969, power shifted at KCSB to an all-student executive committee, democratizing the power formerly held by the university staff member who had made all the major decisions. KCSB, by the end of the 1960s, was a student-controlled mass media outlet with the power to broadcast a unique perspective to the communities up and down the coast 24 hours a day on the FM band. Student activism grew at the formerly apolitical campus with the knowledge of the civil rights struggle and the impact on youth of the Vietnam War, sparking students' interest in international politics. Local issues came to be linked with the wider world's issues. Students were concerned with farm worker unionization efforts in California as an important local civil rights struggle. Civil disobedience and other direct action techniques of political protest had been unknown on the Santa Barbara campus until 1968. Black students on campus galvanized other activist activities by occupying a campus building and demanding increased minority enrollment at the university and the hiring of minority faculty. KCSB was there broadcasting live onto the rooms of the entire community, and the students got a perspective on the important event that would surely impact the university education.
Right now, we're going to move into a serious vein. We have a brother that wants to rap, a very beautiful brother, a very black brother, a very universal brother, Brother Chris Gilbert.
For only nobody knows where truth grows, why birds fly, and especially who the moon is. This is our day. This is our moment. These brothers, this Black Student Union, the University of California, Santa Barbara, the students, you, for the first time, have power. You have to call it black power because it's the black brothers that has given it to you. But they've given it to you, and that's the beautiful thing. They're including you. You're not going to let them get hurt. People might want to hurt them, but you're not going to let them get hurt because you're feeling the love vibrations that they're giving you. They've included you in on their thing. They're not doing it by themselves. They're doing it with you.
KCSB became a forum for student voices, in contrast to the mainstream media, which ignored or minimized student concerns and perspectives. This was a clear pattern seen by the students after the manner in which the Berkeley free speech movement was covered in the press. Student Government Executive Vice President Greg Nell and Administrative Vice President Costello de la Roca.
We have a serious situation where the residents, although there is crime in our district, cannot trust the police, cannot deal with the police, cannot deal with county officials in an honest and open manner. We have a constant record of police harassment and police intimidation in Isla Vista.
It's a common thing. There's certain key phrases the media has to use, like SDS has to be involved. You have to tie everything together, like Dick Flack and Abby Hoffman and Bill Kunstler all had something to do with this. And the other catchphrase that you find in every story is that of outside agitators, that students, you know, are intelligent individuals and they can make decisions for themselves. And they don't have to be manipulated by Abby Hoffman. They don't have to be manipulated by a small group of leaders. And you can put everybody you can find in jail and it's still going to happen.
What else is there for students to do? You try all the legal channels there. Greg has spoken of the police force in Isla Vista. Greg has spoken also about the election, about refusing students to register. Those are legal channels where students have then said, no, you cannot participate on that. We were told in that academic senate that we were not rational human beings, that we cannot think, that we cannot reason like professionals. If you have a degree, you are a professional. And that's the only time that you can think. Sir, I say those people are mistaken.
The ability of students to have a voice in shaping their education was the core of the conflict over the firing of popular anthropology instructor Bill Allen. He was known to speak out publicly and vocally on the issues of civil rights and against the war in Vietnam. Protests took the form of demonstrations, sit-ins at academic senate meetings, and the circulation of a petition calling for open hearings on Allen's case. After 300 police were deployed on the UCSB campus to disperse a Bill Allen demonstration, 19 students were arrested as alleged ringleaders. They were quickly dubbed the Santa Barbara 19, echoing the national news of the Chicago 8 trial. Shortly after that infamous trial concluded, the lead defense attorney, William Kunstler, spoke to a large crowd in UCSB's Harder Stadium. The speech was broadcast live on KCSB and was said by many to be the spark of the first riots in Isla Vista.
We all want the same type of decent world that we feel is possible. We're the greatest optimists in this country. They claim we want to destroy the system. Nancy put it correctly. We didn't go to Chicago to destroy a system. We went essentially to destroy the application of a system.
That started the coverage because then, you know, everybody just erupted from there, and they went into Isla Vista and they started demonstrating and throwing rocks. And they literally, there were so many people, they ran the police out of Isla Vista. And then everybody knew, okay, this town is ours because the police are not going to be here.
Others say the catalyst was a common student complaint of rough and unfair policing in Isla Vista and the handling of an arrest by Santa Barbara County Sheriff officers who were surrounded and eventually driven from the scene.
When an argument ensued between the arresting officers and the blacks, a gathering crowd grew hostile towards the deputies. Someone started letting air out of the tires of the sheriff's vehicle, while another person threw gasoline under the same vehicle and lit it.
When I was in jail, our jailers told us that the county sheriffs draw lots for patrol in Isla Vista because the rest of the county is so dead. They come out here looking for action. They come out here to work off the frustrations of maybe a week or two of a really boring beat patrol through Santa Barbara. They come out here looking for trouble.
The student anger then was directed at other major symbols of their frustrations, the realty offices that charge so much in rent for the substandard housing while providing little in the way of services or maintenance were pelted with rocks.
A crowd of perhaps 100 to 150 persons has gathered in front of the Isla Vista Realty in Isla Vista, and we've received reports here that some missiles have been and are being thrown. Earlier, this same crowd was in front of the Bank of America, where rocks were thrown at the windows, and several windows were cracked, and the fire alarm in that building was set off. Those are about all the reports we have right now, but if anything else develops or there are any major occurrences, we'll interrupt our program and then bring them to you here on TCSC.
The Bank of America branch in Isla Vista also attracted rocks and suffered broken windows. The bank had come to symbolize student frustrations over a society that did not heed their thoughts or needs. It was the largest building in Isla Vista, placed in the center of the community's business district, known as the Loop. With nothing else around except for small locally owned businesses, the bank branch came to be seen as an impressive outpost for the wealth and big business. Student research uncovered objectionable ties to the defense industries thought to be profiting on the devastation and death raining down on Vietnam. Independently published pamphlets circulating in the community pointed out that the Bank of America financed Boeing defense contracts, that the president of defense contractor Litton Industries sat on the bank's board, and other board members have ties to defense-funded university research.
I think we're all aware of the Bank of, you know, what the Bank of America represents. And I think it was a symbolic gesture, but also a very direct gesture. The Bank of America is probably one of the most oppressive corporate institutions in the United States.
Another significant charge leveled at the bank at the time was that it actively opposed unionization efforts of the California-based United Farm Workers. A major strike was on against the table grape growers to force them to recognize the union for immigrant farm laborers, and the bank was seen as a financial benefactor to the growers and major agribusiness across the state. Student government withdrew all funds from the Bank of America on November 25, 1969, over this issue. Costello de Rocha.
The Bank of America owns approximately 4,000 acres in the San Joaquin Valley. And the Bank of America owns this property and runs that property. As a matter of fact, also it hires many Mexican-Americans, Chicanos, as well as blacks, as well as whites. And it's one of the problems that we have seen throughout the San Joaquin Valley is the non-responsiveness of these institutions to the workers, to the people who work the fields, the poor conditions under which they work.
The bank was burned to the ground on the night of February 25, 1970.
A few members of the still gathering crowd rolled a Dempsey trash dumpster to the B of A's doors. The dumpster was ignited, overturned, and the flaming debris spewed forth into the B of A.
An incendiary device has been thrown into the Bank of America right now and is burning very brightly on the floor with high flames shooting almost to the roof.
KCSB provided ongoing live-on-the-spot coverage from the streets of Isla Vista.
I'm beginning to feel the tear gas in my throat. I hear tear gas rockets continually going off. I just heard another one. We believe they're being fired from the overpass. There's one more towards Parga. People are beginning to run. Ann Henry is now covering my eyes with a cloth, which makes it feel very good. The eyes are burning. Just about everybody in the news team here is really suffering from the tear gas as it runs down my hand and ruins my watch.
Let's get in the Jeep with John. quiet. That police helicopter, I believe, is returning. Now he's dropping something. You heard that pop, possibly. It sounded like something was being dropped.
Greg, right now I think we should point out that there don't seem to be any police right in this area on the streets of Isla Vista. The police move in from one direction, the people move out in another. They succeeded in dividing this group, but not in dispersing the crowd.
We're having tear gas apparently coming towards this area. We're going to have to leave. We'll report later.
You're listening to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots.
KCSB reporters employed bicycles, portable radios, and telephone booths to provide breaking eyewitness reports of the clashes between students and police. As 1970s KCSB general manager Cy Godfrey explains in the next segment.
From the corner of Madrid and Embarcadero del Norte, at the phone booth at the EMCO station, where I am surrounded at this time by police facing outwards from me.
And so we would sometimes have, you know, two or three people, reporters out there reporting by telephone. And this is when you really had phone booths. It almost sounded like we had microphones because the phone booths provided some insulation from the sound. We made sure they each had radios. And so the way they could hear each other talking, of course, was, I mean, this was all live. They just put the radio speaker up to their ear. And so if somebody was, you know, they just heard it over the air, just like everybody out there did. And that way somebody in one phone booth could comment on what somebody in another phone booth was talking about.
KCSB was one of the few outlets documenting the often violent and sometimes illegal police tactics deployed against the student demonstrators in dramatic and undeniable terms.
The police are photographing everyone on the streets, including members of the press, including the people standing here on this corner.
And also what happened then during this time was that we had L.A. sheriffs, you know, riot creeps in here. And those guys, I mean, they would just come in and they would just beat the hell out of anybody they could get their hands on. That was the idea. I mean, it was like, you know, we were the enemy. This was a war. We could have been Vietnamese. We could have been North Koreans. You know, the whole idea was to get a hold of one of us and just beat the hell out of us. And they did a good job. And so they kept the streets like totally, you know, clean. But they also, if somebody ran into an apartment or they thought somebody did or they just didn't like the apartment, they literally broke down the front door without a search warrant or anything, and they went in and they grabbed people and they beat them up.
A Los Angeles sheriff's office car screeched up and four officers dismounted. I moved Rocky, my girlfriend, to the back of the apartment. The four sheriffs smashed open the door, grabbed Melody and John, threw John across the coffee table and began beating him. We were ordered out of the back. I was struck with a nightstick in the solar plexus because I didn't move fast enough. I was thrown to the floor and had a boot rammed in my back. Rocky was dragged out by the hair and thrown down. We were then thrown and dragged by the hair down the stairs outside to the waiting squad cars.
You know, you guys are kids, and I'm a parent, but we're all human beings and we're all people, and we're supposed to be living under a constitution. And I don't see any evidence of it here. I walk into Ivy expecting to see a college campus, and what I saw last night was a war zone. And the only difference between a state of war and what you've got here, to me, is there's only one bunch that has a weapon. I want to tell you that in the whole evening, I saw no violence except on the part of the, if you'll pardon the expression, peace officers. And if you guys are supposed to learn about law and order, you're getting a very good lesson up here on lawlessness and chaotic disorder. And it's being shown to you by the adults who are supposed to be the ones that are enforcing the law.
A student, Kevin Moran, was killed by rifle fire, although he was defending a temporary building housing the Bank of America.
A Santa Barbara police officer reported that his rifle accidentally discharged during the initial confrontation at the bank at the approximate time of Moran's death.
On the night of April 18th at 3:20 a.m., the vice chancellor of the university ordered KCSB to be shut down, ostensibly for broadcasting locations of police and providing guidance for the rumored sniper said to be stalking the police in Isla Vista. Cy Godfrey got the call from the UCSB Dean of Students to end the broadcast.
And he said, Sheriff Webster has ordered me to turn the radio station off. You're to go off the air. And I said, why? And he said, because you've been broadcasting troop movements. You've been broadcasting where his men are. The sheriff is concerned that some sniper is going to shoot them. I didn't want to disobey him because the regents do hold the license, and I figured if I said, no, screw you, I'm not going off the air, that then the regents would punish us in some way. They would take our license away for 6 months or something, or maybe say, okay, for the next year, you know, all the students are out of there, we're just going to play tapes or something like that. So I went on the air, didn't mean to give a big speech, although I just thought it was terrible, a terrible violation of the First Amendment. And kind of like a police state.
Sheriff Webster and the police and the chief of police of Santa Barbara have ordered KCSB to cease broadcasting activities for the remainder of this broadcast day. We are permitted to return to the air early tomorrow morning. However, I repeat again, KCSB has been ordered, it has been dictated, whatever phrase you wish to use, KCSB has been told that it must shut down immediately. We regret this deeply. We will not editorialize, although we feel very strongly about this. We will simply say, and I, Cy Godfrey, his manager, will say, that I consider it to be probably one of the most regrettable things I've ever heard to happen to this campus.
I think it was Chancellor Cheadle who had told me, because he had a meeting with me the very morning after it happened. And he asked me to, you know, keep it a secret, but he said, okay, listen, this is the deal. I've made a deal with the sheriff's department that they will not come on campus, because I'm afraid if they come on campus, a lot of students are going to get hurt and maybe killed. And in return for that deal, what I had to give him was I had to give him our cooperation. That's why I did what he wants.
According to station lore, KCSB has the dubious distinction of being the only radio station in the country shut down by law enforcement because of its reporting in the field. Santa Barbara Sheriff Webster was known to the students as Pig Webster.
Sheriff Webster, could you explain specifically why KCSB was banned from the air early one morning a few days ago?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm glad that you asked. Because the fact that they were broadcasting the operations of the officers, and they were advising the groups what was being done, and consequently the groups were moving to other locations and other areas and making the enforcement of this area absolutely intolerable.
Are you saying that KCSB specifically advised groups of demonstrators in the area?
This was well, I don't know whether they did it purposefully.
One more question, sir. To the best of your knowledge, has this been done before in any previous similar situation, any place in the United States?
It has been done, yes, because there is authority to do so.
Could you cite that authority, please?
Well, probably that question should be referred to the Office of the Attorney General to be the legal advisor.
I'm afraid that as a state officer, I can't claim any expertise with regard to the Federal Communications Act, so I wouldn't want to say what that authority might be and stuff.
I was so upset about the First Amendment issues, and to me there was supposed to be a separation between law enforcement and the press. You know, imagine the FBI or the Los Angeles Police Department going into the Los Angeles Times and saying, you're not publishing tomorrow's paper. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if that happened? But this, because we were a student radio station, seemed like, you know, nobody could care. In my, you know, naive ways, you know, silly me, I wrote a letter to the FCC thinking that the FCC would care. You know, now being a lawyer, I know, you know, they could really care less. And I got back a very form letter that in essence said, well, you're a student radio station and the regents hold the license and the regents aren't complaining, and so we don't care what you think.
KCSB devoted significant airtime to citizen commission hearings concerning the police brutality following the riots in June.
A police officer confronted me with the butt of his gun and smashed me in the forehead. And I was wearing glasses and they just bent and it cut me like this. And he had no purpose to do this, and I was just really upset. I mean, I couldn't do anything because I'm underage, and I couldn't identify him because he was wearing riot gear and the whole bit, and it just really made me sick.
I'm Mrs. Guerrero. I live at 6672 Abrego. When my kids saw this, all four were watching through the window. I ran out, and I couldn't believe it was my husband being taken down. At the time, I have witnessed to the effect that as he was being dragged down the stairs, two policemen from the back came up and hit him on the back of the head with a nightstick.
Later, when some people began singing, "We Shall Overcome Softly," the same deputy chambered a shell in his shotgun and pointed it at the prisoners.
KCSB was a student-led project allowing for self-education in broadcast journalism. It was a unique and novel new project at the time, and the students took to their responsibilities with enthusiasm and dedication, all the time upholding strong professional standards. In line with students' concern with self-determination, the students at KCSB took control of their own education about media issues and learning about their community and the important issues facing it. They were historic achievements, but as Cy Godfrey puts it, the students weren't always aware of their pioneering role in bringing the student voice to prominence in our community.
I mostly remember that we just had a blast. We just really had a good time. As part of that, just about everybody was concerned about quality being on the air, and somehow we were able to combine the two. And I get this feeling that the same thing's going on now.
Gottfried expresses a sincere wish that KCSB remain as it is currently a student-run media outlet.
I hope the station stays a student station. There's a feeling about that and an honesty that you don't get when it's not. There's a freshness and a spontaneity here, and you're going to lose that if it doesn't stay a student station, so I hope it does.
Went to the park to see the man. The next day I had a final exam. All my professors had come to see that the jail cost money, but the tear gas was free. I got those out of this riot torn, out of this riot torn blue. Now I got tear gas from my head all the way down to my shoes.
The community of Isla Vista, spelled ISLAVISTA, is unique in many, many ways. And yet another distinction is the extensive documentation of local history that has been created attempting to capture its uncommon spirit. A great number of local histories have been created concerning the campus unrest of the winter and spring of 1970. Check out www.kcsb.org in the alumni section for the full interview with Cy Godfrey. And for other local histories, they can be found at IslaVistaHistory.com and LegendarySurfers.com, as well as IslaVista.org. Thanks for tuning into Sprouts this week. I've been your announcer, Fabienne Boudreau, from the campus of the University of California, Santa Barbara, KCSB 91.9 FM.
We here at KCSB would like to dedicate this production of Sprouts to Tom Borgie, known to many in our community as Gene Poole, a longtime volunteer here. We lost him to cancer recently. Thanks go out to Tim Owens, Cy Godfrey, and Malcolm Galt-Williams for providing audio from our archives, and to the Special Collections staff at UCSB's Davidson Library for their help in restoring some of the audio. Thanks also go to Pacifica Radio for distribution